Proverbs chapter 6 is where we will be tonight, for our starting point at least. And we have come to a group of verses here that we kind of slowed down, and we're going to take a few weeks to look through, because it talks about six things. This is in verse number 16 of Proverbs chapter 6. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So those are those six things, yea, seven things that the Lord hates. And so we're going to be looking at those tonight. We're just going to start with the first one. And then the other ones we may group into a few more, but haven't done those yet. So we'll just start with the first one. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it, all right? Our Father, we come now to ask for your blessing as we turn our attention to the Word of God. Would you bless the teaching and bless it to our hearts tonight. Allow us to really take it in and meditate on it and feed our soul with it, Lord, and help us. These things are hateful to you. They're abominations to you. And we don't want them to be in our lives, Lord. So help us to hate when we see it in our life and rid them out. And Lord, especially, we don't want to look at others and judge others. We want to judge ourselves. And so help us, Father, with this. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Middle Ages, there was a group of monks that decided to love God with all their hearts and minds and soul, as Jesus commanded. And they wanted to know not only what drew them to God, but what drew them away from God. And they compiled a list of basic sins, which were basically, they thought all other sins originate from these sins. And they became known as the seven... There's my phone. They became known as the seven deadly sins. And does anybody know what their list of seven deadly sins are? Anybody ever read that list or see it? That's a term I'd always heard, the seven deadly sins. And I just figured it was from this verse, you know, to be honest with you. So I did what Joel would have done. I Googled it. And I found these were the seven that they listed. These are the last six: envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth. Now those are the last six, but you know what the first one is. Pride. The first one is pride. And, you know, that's not a bad list. Certainly those ones, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, sloth, those are sins. And, you know, of course, a lot of times today, if you ask people what are the worst sins, you get all kinds of answers, right? Nowadays, you might get, you know, hatred and, well, I don't know. You can guess all kinds of ones. Adultery, murder, those are always high on the list, you know, and things like that. But these are ones that God says are an abomination. And he hates them. He despises these sinful attitudes and behaviors that we read tonight. And we won't go back over the entire list. We're going to go through them in the next few weeks. But we're going to deal with this one tonight, pride, because pride is, I think, perhaps the father of them all. I mean, pride is, and I've made this statement many times, so some of you have heard me say this a lot of times, but I've called pride at other occasions a parent sin. In other words, it spawns other sins. Out of our pride, comes a lot of sins. And when you think back about it, of course, the first sin, where did sin come from? Where did sin originate? It originated in the heart of Satan. It originated with Lucifer, the devil, and it was a sin of pride. You can read about it in Isaiah 14. It talks about how he said, you know, those, how many, I never learned how many there, I wills there are there, but there's a lot of them. He said, I will, you know, ascend above the throne of God, basically, and I will be as God, and that's what he wanted to be worshipped. And that's the sin of pride. He wanted to exalt himself rather than exalt God. And then he came down and he tempted Adam and Eve. He tempted Eve first, and he said, you know, if you eat of this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be what? What did he tell her? I'm asking the question because some of you are already going to sleep. What did he say? You would be as gods, right? You would be like God. And he appealed to pride. That thought planted in their mind. That, you know, that if you eat this, God's withholding from you. And if you eat this, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And so that's really where sin basically started. Which came first? It came from pride. I don't know what I was going to say there. I didn't have anything. But pride is what kind of kicked it off, got the ball going. And pride is about self, right? And selfishness is where a lot of sin comes from, because of our selfishness, because of our own pride. Which, what is pride? How would you define it? Well, I like what it says in Romans 12, verse 3. He says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And basically, that's part of pride, isn't it? That think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He says, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Webster said this, "Pride is inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, disdain, reserve, and often contempt of others." And so pride is that way. Pride is an inordinate self-esteem. It's a conceit. It's thinking about yourself all the time. You know, it's thinking how important you are, but just the fact that you're thinking about yourself oftentimes is pride. You know, that you think more about yourself than you think about others. And it does often have a contempt for others. You know, you look down on others. When we look down on others, I mean, you know, how should we look on others? The world puts people in classes and stuff like that. And we are not a third world country. We're a first world country. I think that's how you say it. But, you know, there are people that have less than we do. There's people that aren't as maybe well off as we are, you know, and all those things. But do we look down on them? There's people that, some that, you know, get straight A's in schools, or some that struggle along, or some that flunk out. There's all kinds of ways you can look. But really, how should you look at that? And I don't want to sound proud and say I do this, but I honestly think we should look at people and say, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I, right? I mean, Paul said it like that. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so we take no pride in that. We take, because really, I mean, honestly, I know that, you know, if it wasn't for God's grace and providence in my life, I could be in whatever situation anybody else is in the world. I'm not where I'm at because of any thing in me, really, honestly. I'm only where I am because of God's opportunities and God's help and God's grace in my life. So pride is something we struggle with. Now, here's a couple quotes I found. Alexander White said, "It is out of self-love that all other evil passions spring." William Barclay said something similar. He said, "Pride is the ground in which all other sins grow." God hates a proud look. You know, and it's almost like the, you know, you ever see a proud look? We talk about people that turn up their nose at others, you know, things like that. That haughty spirit, that proud look. Somebody's so full of pride, it just shows on their face, you know, in their look. And he says he hates a proud look. God resists the proud heart. And the sad thing is a proud man resists God and hates God. So, I just have a couple thoughts, or a couple points here. How many do I have? Three. The danger of pride. We said that pride was the first sin. And so, it's a dangerous sin. And it is something that infects every one of us. All of us have an element of pride. You know, there may be some sins that I have that you don't have, but when it comes to pride, I really believe I can say this. It's kind of like lying. All men are liars. We all have, you know, we've bent the truth. We've told lies. And all of us have an element of pride. And some more than others, but all of us have that. I'd like you to turn to chapter 16 of Proverbs and look at verse 18. 16 and verse 18. This is probably a phrase you know well. But he says, pride goeth before what? Destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. So basically there's two things there that it tells you that pride leads to. Pride leads to destruction. And it leads to a fall. I took those out of order, I think. But pride, I put this one down. Pride sets us up for a fall. You're going to fall. And there's some, I like sports. There's a lot of good examples, you know, of teams and players that get prideful and then they fall, literally sometimes, you know. And you know, they crash and burn. There's a lot of examples of that. I'm not going to mention any because I'll probably pick on your favorite athlete or something. But, you know, they and how many times, you know, teams have thought they won it and then they lose it right at the last minute because they got a little bit puffed up, you know. And so pride is that way. It goes before a fall. And that fall is inevitable. But how many of you know what it says in James 4:6? It says that God resisteth the proud, right? So if God resists the proud, you're already set up for a fall right there. I mean, that's a pretty, I think I've said this recently even, but that's a sobering thought when you think about it. Do you want God to resist? Who could withstand God resisting you? I mean, you just think about it. What does that mean? God resists the proud. I don't know all the implications of that, but it sounds really serious, doesn't it? That God would resist me and what I'm trying to do? I mean, as a pastor, if I'm trying to reach people in our city and build a church up, you know, and do this work of God here, but I'm doing it in pride, God's going to resist me. And I'm not going to get much done with God resisting me. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail in my endeavors because God's sort of making sure of that. Until he can, and that he tells us to humble ourselves. And I heard a preacher say this one time, and he said, you know, if we don't humble ourselves, God has a way of humbling us. I think I just lost my mic. That's all right. So, it's important that we humble ourselves, right? Because that kind of hurts because you have to swallow your pride, you have to do that. But it'll be a lot more painful, I think, if God has to do it. So, it's best if we humble ourselves. So, it sets us up for a fall because God's going to resist us. And I put this down, it's because pride does not give God the glory. Essentially, that's what pride is doing. It's robbing God of the glory. When we take the glory to ourselves, when we take responsibility for, you know, things, and we talked about this morning, we talked about God's supply. And when we think that we've done it or we can do it on our own, or, you know, it's all about us, it's not all about us. It's not us, it's God. And so we're taking the glory away. One of the greatest examples to that in my mind in the Bible, when I think about that, is this one. It's in Acts chapter 12. I'll just read it for you. You remember the story is about Herod. Remember what happened to Herod? It says, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and he made an oration or a speech unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Here he gave this speech. And I read that and I think to myself, you know, they're crying out, oh, wow. I mean, he talks so, it's amazing. It's like the voice of a God. And Herod's just drinking that all in, you know. And do you think they're sincere? No, they're just blowing out this political, you know, puffing them up. They honestly, when you read the context too, I mean, before, you know, there was problems with Herod and these people. And they wanted to, you know, they wanted to get the king Herod on their side. They needed some favors. So they're buttering him up. They put him on the stage and give him this platform to speak. And then he speaks and they really butter him up more, you know. It's all a big show, but he's drinking it in. He's just hearing this and his chest is coming about, you know, four sizes out. And while that goes on, it says, they said, this is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, listen, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Wow. So much for this voice of a God guy, you know. And so what did he do? Why did God smite him right immediately like that? Because when he heard them puffing him up, this is the voice of a God, he said, yeah, that's me. You know, the man with a God-like voice. And God said, nope. So and that's why pride is dangerous. Do you follow? Because we're really robbing God of his glory. Herod should have said, whoa, wait a minute. No, guys, look, there's one God, and this is his word. Don't puff me up. Don't build me up. Don't look up, you know, don't put me on a pedestal. He should have humbled himself. And so it's easy to do that. You know, I mean, it's easy, even like for a pastor, a preacher, when the congregation goes out and says, wow, that was a great sermon, Pastor. I mean, we like to hear it. But we always have to remind ourselves, glad there was one that was good, at least, you know. But give God the glory, you know. And so I just say, praise the Lord. Because it's not me. And so, you know, we have to be careful. We have to deflect glory off of us and to God. Point it to God whenever that glory comes. So it robs God glory. Pride feels it deserves recognition when all the credit belongs to God. Maybe I'll, I know our time's going to get away too fast. I'll do this quickly. You know this scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 12. I'll just sort of give you the Reader's Digest version here of this. I was reading, this is out of my devotions. I was reading the other day, Brother Paulician gave me a little book when he left. He gave me this little booklet. And in the book, title of the booklet was How to Have a Real Relationship with God. And one of the things it emphasized in the book is something that I had done in the past, but I let it slip. You ever do that? You get something that's good, and then you kind of stop doing it? Yeah, we do that. Well, in this book, one of the things it said, and it had a lot of good points, but one of the things was he said when you he keeps a journal when he reads his Bible and writes down thoughts. So I think it was just yesterday or the day before, I guess it was. I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter, what comes before 12? 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I was reading about, you know, where Paul says, you know, I was in peril in the seas, and I was shipwrecked, and I was beaten, and all those things. He has that huge list, like from verse 22 on down to the end of the chapter. He talks about all that. And I was writing notes, and I was meditating on it. That's what it does. It helps you meditate on it. And so, you know, I was meditating on that scripture, and I was thinking about how Paul, because in the context there, Paul, the Corinthians were, they had a problem with pride. You can tell that when you read the books of Corinthians, right? You know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and they were, you know, I want to speak in tongues, I want to do this, I want to, you know, there was all this. They were one-upping each other all the time. You know what that means, right? It's like when, and this is part of pride too, it's like when, you know, I don't want to pick on the kids. Kids do this a lot, but parents do it too. You know, they tell the story, oh, I did this and this happened, you know, and then they go, oh yeah, really? Well, one time I did this, and they, you know, it's a little better story, right? And we do that. And that's the way the Corinthians were. They were like, you know, well, I'm of Paul. Well, Paul, who's that? I'm of Apollos. He's a better speaker. And one of them, you know, the really spiritual crowd, well, I'm of Jesus, you know, and they were just doing this kind of thing. And so Paul had to deal with that all the time. And so Paul finally says, look, you want to know my credentials? I mean, I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. I was hungry. I was in perils. I mean, he just talks about his weaknesses, really. Basically, he just goes through this whole list. And what he's saying there is, you know, I think those things point out something. That it's not about my power, my ability, my wisdom. They don't demonstrate my greatness. They just demonstrate that God holds me up even though I'm a mess all the time. And where that really, you know, that's, if you turn to chapter 12, look all the way down to verse 10. Really all of that is basically 12:10 in action. What does it say in chapter 12, verse 10? I didn't turn there, so somebody, oh yeah, no, I did turn there. Never mind, I'll read it. It says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now that's really powerful when you put it in the context. He's talking to these proud, puffed up Christians who are, you know, showing off all the stuff. And Paul says, look, the thing that I take pleasure in is that I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, God is strong. And so it's about his strength, not me. Not many noble, not many mighty are called. God's called the foolish because then he gets the glory. So we have to be careful. Pride leads to a fall. Pride leads to destruction. I'm going to run through a list here. Let's do this fast. We're going to turn, okay? Speed drill. Psalms 10, verse 4. Psalms 10, verse 4. We'll do a speed drill. Who's the first one there? Stand up. You can read it. Proverbs 10, 4. Betsy, good job.
Oh, I think it's Psalms.
Psalms.
Pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts.
I wrote it down this way. It destroys the work of salvation. Mm-hmm. Because notice what he said. The wicked through their pride will not seek after God. That's a verse you ought to underline or keep a note of. Okay, but we got to move. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. Go. Matthew 6, 2. Matthew 6, 2. Matthew 6. Oh. Okay, you got it, Corrine? You're right.
Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Okay, and it goes on to talk about when you pray, don't pray, you know, loud in the street, because then you have a reward and all those things to be seen of men. So I wrote this way: pride destroys the reward of the Christian. Because he said, you have your reward. What is your reward? Other people's acknowledgement. If you do it to be seen of men, when I do my alms, here I am, I'm going to give my offering. Now watch this. This is a big offering, guys, you know, and you pour it in there and ting, ting, ching, all the change, and you make sure they hear it. And people go, ooh, what's he putting in over there? You know, you look at it and you think, ooh, he put in a lot. God looks at that and goes, well, there goes his reward. You know what I'm saying? Because you did it to be seen of men. And God says, okay, let them reward you then. I'm not going to reward you for that. But if you do it for God, that's why he said when you give, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. And so it destroys. Pride will destroy your... Think about that. I mean, what you're doing for God, you want reward in heaven? Well, if you did it in pride, there goes your reward. So, pride will destroy your house. Proverbs, here, we're going to go another one. Proverbs 15:25. Go. Proverbs 15:25.
The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the order of the widow.
Did you have my notes? How did you go there so fast? The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Is that what it says? All right. So the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. One of the ways that happens is in this verse. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Who wants that one? Proverbs 13, 10. Brother Chris.
Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom.
Okay. So by pride comes contention. And you want to destroy your house? Be proud and contentious. You know? And when you did something wrong, and your wife knows it, and your children know it, but you're too proud to admit it, and, you know, I'm right, and you know, I'm going to be right whether I'm right or not, I'm right, you know? Then you're going to destroy your house. But humility goes a long way in relationships. So, pride is destroys. It's before destruction. It destroys the work of salvation because they won't seek after God. It destroys a Christian's reward because they do it to be seen of men. It destroys your house. It brings contention. The proud man is his own worst enemy. He lives with contention and thinks that it's everyone else's fault. Pride is clearly warned against and condemned in the Bible. And yet it's seen as a virtue among people sometimes. You know, doesn't the world sort of extol pride? You know, be proud of who you are. But not God. I'm gonna bring it to a close. I asked a question. Is there a difference between self-respect and pride? In other words, you know, here's an example that has come up from time to time, even amongst the church. So, you know, we mentioned sports. Now, is it wrong to play to win? Some of you don't know which way your head is going to go. Is it wrong to, you know, be concerned that you look decent, dress nice, comb your hair? Is that wrong, you know? Is it wrong to, Chris is wrong, comb your hair. Is it wrong to, you know, fix up your house and take good care of your yard and things like that? Well, when I asked all those questions, I went through a list, and then I wrote this. I said, now, replace the word wrong with pride. Is it pride to play to win? Is it pride to try to dress decently? Is it pride? And here's the thing, but I just want to get this out quick, but it's not a yes and no answer, really, because it's a matter of the heart. If it's of pride, then it's wrong. Now, the Bible says that whatsoever your hand find to do it with all your heart. And so there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing a good job and it's right to comb your hair and shave and, you know, and look decent and so on. I'm not saying you have to shave every day, Chris. I'm just saying it's good to... It's just, you know what I mean? It's not bad to want to have even the church look nice. It's a good testimony, okay? But if it's out of pride, if you put on the suit and go in the mirror, wow, I look pretty good, huh? You know? And then you're hoping that everybody else notices, you know? Well, then you got a problem. It's pride. But it, you know, and if you play to win, you're playing a game. You play to win. You're competitive. It depends. Is it out? Is the motive pride? Is it because I want to be seen as, you know, the best? I want to have the trophy, or is it just because, you know, I want to play to win because we're playing a game? You know, that's what you play a game for, right? And you might as well do your best. You might as well put your effort into it. So it really comes down to the motive. It's what it comes down to. And that you have to judge your own heart in. You have to look at your heart, and sometimes you have to say, Lord, would you help me to see if that's pride in me? And if the Lord says, yeah, that was proud, and he can show you, then you can say, okay, next time, Lord, help me to humble myself. But... you know, it's not wrong to do those kind of things if it's not out of pride. Because here's these verses. I'll close with this. This verse is Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. But it goes on. As to the Lord and not unto men. You see, you can do it. And I remember reading the testimony of Eric Little. Remember Eric Little? How many of you remember the Chariots of Fire? You know, the guy that ran. And he ran and was an amazing runner and an Olympic runner. And he just said, God made me fast. And he ran to the glory of God. And when they said the race is on Sunday, he said, sorry, I'm not showing up. I'm in church. And he glorified God with it. And so you can do it. You can run. You can do other things because it says in the Bible, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, there's the difference. Now get it. If I'm doing it to the glory of Tom, then that's pride. But if I can do it to the glory of God, then it's okay. Does that make sense? So that's where you have to judge your heart. Am I doing this? And when I do this, am I now? And you have to be really honest, because sometimes we can think we're doing it to the glory of God, but really we're secretly, you know, taking some of that glory to ourselves. And you got to be careful. But if you do it to the glory of God. The only cure for pride is humility. And we have to be humble. We have to grow in humility. I have a whole bunch of other points on that, but I'm going to stop there. You know what pride is, but really tonight, honestly, because it's in all of us, we have to be careful. Search your hearts. Say, Lord, search me and know my heart. See if there be any pride in me. And where he points it out, and down, you know, as you go along this week, where there's contention, remember what that verse Chris read? Only by pride comes contention. That's a convicting verse. Because when there's contention, if you can take the pride out of it, you take the fuel away and the fire goes out. But if you keep feeding it, it's because you're too proud to just give it up sometimes. You know what I mean? Well, let's go ahead and stand.